Learn the tools for effective firm leadership with ACEC's Business of Design Consulting, a six-week virtual course to help you build management expertise to help your firm thrive. Whether you're a CEO looking to mentor your firm's future leaders, or an executive wanting to develop your own leadership skills, the Business of Design Consulting is the place to learn. Act soon. The upcoming session begins on April 6th. To learn more and register, visit acec.org.
Welcome to the Government Affairs Update from ACEC for March 12th, 2021. And have some news this week. Of course, the big news is President Biden's first large legislative victory, which is the American Recovery Plan, was approved by the Senate, went over to the House, House approved it, and now it is sitting in the Oval waiting for a public signing ceremony to happen a little bit later today. $1.9 trillion relief package, one of the largest, if not the largest, relief package ever passed by Congress, contained a lot of provisions, direct support for American families, some tax credit extensions that were in previous bills, and some support to transportation agencies. And to kind of go through what this bill is and what it means for the larger infrastructure push later this year, I have Steve Hall, our head of advocacy, with us to go over the details. Steve, welcome.
Thanks, Jeff. Great to be here.
Yeah, this is a big bill, no question about it, and does represent his first win within the first 100 days. I think the headlines were pretty much 50 days in and you know, check the box on number one. So what does this bill mean for our industry? Is there anything in there that we need to really pay attention to?
Yeah, Jeff, there are some components in there that may have the effect of, you know, restarting some stalled infrastructure projects, certainly stabilizing some of our client agencies and targeted assistance to some of those agencies. But you're right, President Biden had to have a win on this. This is what he campaigned on and put a lot of personal capital into getting this done. And so for him, just putting aside the substance, you know, he had to have a win politically, and the House and Senate Democrats delivered that. In terms of the substance, though, you know, there are some noteworthy provisions in there that, like I said, may have a beneficial impact on infrastructure projects. A big chunk of the package is direct assistance to state and local governments. About $350 billion of that package is put in there to stabilize their coffers depleted through the pandemic. And like I said, that could have a beneficial effect on the infrastructure agencies, both state level as well as local level, where it could potentially restart some projects. We've noted in a number of states where there's been project slowdowns or pauses during 2020 because of a pretty significant drop in revenue. So this may help to backstop those governmental agencies and allow them to move that forward. So that's certainly a good thing. Absolutely. There was some specific set-asides for transit and airports, $30 billion for transit, $8 billion for airports, largely operating assistance, but again, may have a ripple effect, beneficial effect as it relates to projects that our members are working on. A little bit of help for Amtrak, and a $10 billion set aside for critical infrastructure projects, that's specifically for that purpose of getting projects going and with particular emphasis on COVID-19 response.
Yeah.
As well as some tax measures and things of that nature. So a lot of good stuff in there. One question that we do have is there was language added literally at the last minute that would restrict the ability of states and local governments that accept these funds from doing any sort of tax cutting or tax relief during the covered period. And we're trying to assess what this impact could be, because we know, for example, there are states that are attempting to conform state tax code with the federal code as it applies to the deductibility of expenses covered by PPP loans. Mm-hmm. Is this going to get in the way of that? We know of one state that has an effort underway to raise the state gas tax, and they're looking to possibly reduce taxes elsewhere concurrently with that effort as a way of creating the political environment to make it easier for lawmakers to get behind a boost in the gas tax. Now, you know, is this going to potentially impact that effort? I mean, these are things that we're not quite sure yet. And so there is a little bit of question mark as to how that's going to be impacted. And certainly in the case of, you know, pairing tax reductions with the gas tax increase, I mean, that's what we had hoped to do with that 2017 tax law. Mm-hmm. Ourselves and many other organizations that care about this. And of course, Congress didn't want to touch that. We had some bigger fish to fry. We were able to get a lot of good things for our members in that tax bill. But unfortunately, an increase in the gas tax wasn't one of them.
Well, it seems like this is a true example of language being inserted late in the game, late in the process. My understanding, talking to staff, is that going over to the Hill, talking to the committees of jurisdiction that would be, you know, overseeing this, is that they don't have a full understanding because they didn't expect it to be put in there. So this is one of those issues that everyone is still trying to analyze exactly what the impact's going to be. And that, of course, creates the question that, of course, states have been leading the way over the years to increase their own user fees to finance infrastructure improvements because Congress hasn't dealt with the Highway Trust Fund. The attempt, of course, that you noted in the last tax bill to create offsets to make it more palatable to pay for. Noticed in the media today, Politico reporting that, you know, senators are coming out and saying we've got to pay for this thing. It's going to become a question of, for the infrastructure bill, what is the pay for going to be? And if it's going to be direct deficit spending, you know, how palatable is that right now, given the fact we did pass a $1.9 trillion recovery bill? And if not deficit, then what? And would this language, you know, possibly complicate that? So these are all things that I imagine that you're trying to sort through and figure out.
Yeah, I mean, it may complicate things at the state level. I guess the thing that we're pleased with also, now that Congress is done with this, is we can now transition to that larger infrastructure agenda and start to seriously deal with some of those thorny issues, like how we're going to pay for it. And I don't think Congress has figured that out yet, quite honestly. They're thinking more in terms of the policy side of this. And process, whether this is going to be a bipartisan process, whether this is going to entail the use of budget procedures known as reconciliation that may allow only Democrats in the Senate to move a package actually through the Senate. Now, we know that the leadership of the Senate committees, certainly the lead Senate Committee on Infrastructure, the Environment and Public Works Committee, chaired by Tom Carper of Delaware, and with Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia being the senior Republican, they want to do this bipartisan. That committee showed how they could do it bipartisan in the last Congress. They reported out a bill unanimously, which is remarkable in this day and age, but it reminds us of how old school legislating works, particularly when it comes to infrastructure. This was generally how it worked when you and I worked on the Hill, and it can certainly go work this way going forward. But they're still trying to figure out a pathway. Like I said, the Senate may want to do a very bipartisan approach. The House may want to repeat what they did last year and make a surface transportation bill part of a much larger infrastructure package that only got Democratic votes. So they're going to need to sort this out, but things are going to happen around the time of our annual convention in late April. And the House will probably start to move legislation in early April. The Senate will start the process in May. And so around the time when we start to connect our members with their lawmakers on this and other issues that we're going to want to talk about, it'll be the perfect time.
Absolutely.
Because this stuff will be starting to materialize.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting thing to see, because I think you're absolutely right. The House is going to most likely take its bill, which was a significantly larger package that included a service reauthorization bill, and move that. And then the Senate is going to do something maybe a bit smaller, a little bit more targeted, and they're going to kind of figure it, work it out in the end. But I think the difference is that the political will right now to use infrastructure as a centerpiece for a recovery plan, which the president has placed high on his agenda, creates a different environment than we had last time, when it was just a question of service reauthorization.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, like I said, just let's celebrate the fact that, because we couldn't get this done and serious action on this in much of the latter half of 2020, because Congress was still fixated on doing a stimulus package. Mm-hmm. And so they did one in December that didn't go far enough, for the new administration and many in Congress. They've done this one now. And so really I hate to call them obstacles, but the obstacles are out of the way now in terms of other legislative priorities. The lane is clear to focus on this. So we're excited to see everybody move forward aggressively on this.
Yeah, you're right. The board is clear. And now all eyes turn to infrastructure. Tied into a lot of the advocacy work that we're working on, of course, infrastructure plays a significant role in that. But we do want to do a kind of an update on PPP, because if you remember last episode, we were talking about a small business hearing that was scheduled for last week, or actually earlier this week, and it was canceled because no more of a reason than conflicts on the subcommittee chairman's schedule. And if everyone is wondering what happened to that committee hearing, it was postponed, but we got word today that the hearing has been rescheduled. So Steve, what is the current status of that hearing, what it's about, and what's our involvement?
Yeah, no, we're back on, and our involvement has really, led to the calling for this hearing. Both Republicans and Democrats on the committee want to do this. They're doing it specifically for ACEC based on the concerns that they've heard from us and heard from lawmakers on both sides of the aisle, because of the grassroots engagement that our MO executives have done, our members have done. Lawmakers are getting an earful. That seems to be funneling into the House and Senate Small Business Committees, because they created the PPP program. And on the House side, they want to hold a hearing on it. And so we are working with our two witnesses. For the Democrats have asked us to produce a witness, and Robin Greenleaf, ACEC's chair-elect, will be testifying on behalf of the organization. The minority side has also asked us to identify a witness, and we believe we're trying to confirm his schedule will accommodate this new date, but Carlos Panin in Florida tentatively agreed to testify. So it'll be a great opportunity. It's March 23rd at noon, and we'll get information out to the members where they can, it's a virtual hearing, so they can literally dial in and watch it live. Mm-hmm. But it's a great opportunity for us to lay out the problems that two very typical American engineering companies are going to face if this issue isn't resolved. And I think it will be a great help in our efforts with Congress and the agencies, I should say, to push through some changes. We've had very good meetings this week also with Chairman Peter DeFazio of the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, and with the office of Senator Chuck Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader. We've got other meetings scheduled and happening as well, and all building towards some pressure on federal highways to work with us, and potentially some legislative solutions if the agency comes up with flawed guidance. Right now, what they've put out is draft. It has not been finalized. And so that's part of the problem, what's keeping everyone in limbo. Yeah. So, you know, we're staying focused on this, Jeff. We're using every resource we have to protect our members. We're going to do everything possible to protect our members. And so this is a topic we'll be talking about, I'm sure, a great deal more on this program and in other communications vehicles. So stay tuned.
Yeah, absolutely. Getting that hearing scheduled and having it postponed and then rescheduled shows that there is interest on the committee side. And whenever you're pushing a legislative issue or a regulatory issue through the advocacy process, getting a hearing on that issue is a significant step, and it's a show of movement on an issue. So, for everybody listening, you know, we'll have information again out to our members about, you know, the time and place of the hearing. It's going to be broadcast. The website of the committee, smallbusiness.house.gov, is the website. There's a calendar there. The links are, you just navigate to the day and you'll see it. But we'll get that out to you also in internal communications and member communications. So a lot going on, always never ending. It's always something, and Steve's always extremely busy. So I'm glad that he was able to take some time and talk to us today and kind of give us an update on what's going on in Washington. So Steve, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
And again, this has been the Government Affairs Update from ACEC for March 12th, 2021. We'll see you next time.
Learn the tools for effective firm leadership with ACEC's Business of Design Consulting, a 6-week virtual course to help you build management expertise to help your firm thrive. Whether you're a CEO looking to mentor your firm's future leaders, or an executive wanting to develop your own leadership skills, the Business of Design Consulting is the place to learn. Act soon. The upcoming session begins on April 6th. To learn more and register, visit acec.org.